Well, if you like history, there's nothing better than living history, and that's what you can see in Cass Lake at the supervisor's headquarters of the Chippewa National Forest. That building was built about 74 years ago in 1936, and joining us this morning is Andrea Levasseur. She's the archaeologist on the Chippewa. Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, and this building is just, to me, it's a stunning example of the great log work and kind of a Northwoods design, an architecture that fits beautifully with the Chippewa National Forest. How was it built?
Well, it was built beginning in 1935 and finished in 36 by the, actually, CCC labor. I don't know if you are familiar with the CCC, that was a Civilian Conservation Corps, and they were one of the New Deal programs that Franklin Roosevelt established to help bring the country out of the Great Depression. The idea was to put some young men to work and teach them some skills at the same time, and they paid them a wage of about $30 a month, $25 of which had to go home to their families, and in some cases, especially in rural areas like this, that was the only real cash income that those families had. I mean, they were really in desperate shape. So the CCC really helped to get that cash back into the economy, kind of like some of the economic stimulus efforts that we have right now to try and bring us out of this current crisis. So that was the labor that was used. And, you know, the great thing about those programs like the CCC is that they did provide a lot of labor for state and federal agencies to develop the infrastructure for their organizations. And that's what was happening on the Chippewa National Forest. So in this case, the forest needed a new headquarters building, and all this labor was available. And these young men were led by some very, very skilled carpenters and other craftsmen who taught them the skills and left this great legacy of this wonderful building that we have. This building was built by using probably about 120-year-old red pine logs that were harvested from the Lake 13 area and Strawberry Point, and it's very special. It was made using a construction style called the Finnish chinkless log construction. The main foreman on this project was a man named Ike Buchanugan, an old Finnish man who had learned his trade back home in Finland, and the way that they fit these logs together, it took a great deal of craftsmanship. They would scribe the logs, laying one on top of the other, and they used kind of like the old compass that you used back in grade school to draw circles and things. They would scribe the surface of the log on the one that was going to be laid on top of it so that it would get the same shape. And then they would hew out the contour of the log so that when they put the log on top of each other, they just fit together without any chinking. And they would drive a steel rod down through the logs, of course, to keep them vertical and keep them from rolling over off of each other. This building is three stories high, and it is laid out in with a sort of a central hall here, the centerpiece of which is a huge stone fireplace. If you're looking down, taking the bird's eye view of this building, it's kind of built in an H. So it has the central hall with two wings on it, kind of forming an H shape. And in the center of the central hall is this huge stone fireplace. It's built of field stone that was harvested over by Benedict, kind of in the Laporte area there. And they found these stones out there. They would split them in half and then use each half in the fireplace construction. This stone fireplace, it's 14 by 14 feet at the bottom. It's 50 feet high, and it tapers to about 10 by 10 feet at the top. And it's really quite a work of art in itself. The building, the rest of the building here is not just pine logs, but they also used hand-fitted frost-crap maple for the stairways and split logs for the steps. And all the hardware, the doors and windows, all that is hand-forged wrought iron. And that was, of course, done on site by the blacksmiths that were also working on this building. Originally, the building had a cedar shake roof, but that, of course, didn't last too long because it kept catching on fire. So now we just have the regular asphalt shingles here. And the rest of the grounds are also pretty much intact from what they were originally. Yeah. There are two warehouses on either side of the building, and the circular driveways and walkways sort of give it a real symmetrical feel.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, I have I've mentioned that the building is still very actively in use by the staff at the Chippewa. I've also been telling people they got to see it. Is it okay for people to stop in, or what do you recommend if people want to see the building?
Oh, absolutely. Stop in anytime during business hours. We've got a little display upstairs, too, that kind of tells the story of how it was built. You're welcome to walk around and just take a look and say hello to the folks here, too.
So what's it like to work there?
Well, it's definitely interesting. And, you know, my job as an archaeologist and historian is pretty interesting. We have lots of other historic sites on the forest, not just standing buildings, but archaeological sites as well. So, you know, my job is kind of to be the steward of those resources and you know, help people learn about the resources because, of course, they belong to the people and get to appreciate them in that way as well.
So, Andrea, that building is about 75 years old now. How's it holding up? Is it hard to maintain a big log building like that?
Well, you know, we kind of have to go a little extra mile once in a while, but I think everybody sort of appreciates the historic nature of the building, and I don't hear too much complaining about when we have to do things a little differently than normal.
Yeah, what does it take? Do you have to paint it, or?
Well, yeah, it needs to be stained on a regular basis, and we also although the construction is you know, chinkless, there's also, you know, at the joints they did have to chink some of the doors and window openings and stuff like that. So we have to make sure that it stays sealed up and all that. A few years ago, we had a little problem with some mold in the basement, and we had to get that all sealed up. So once in a while, those things happen. But it's been pretty good, you know, to tell you the truth. We recently installed a sprinkler system and stuff like that. So hopefully it'll last a long time to come.
Oh, that's great. Now, those pine trees, those Norway pines, seem to be kind of a defining feature of not only that building and even there are some Norways around that building, aren't there still?
Yeah, actually, the grounds have sort of a variety of native species that were planted to complement the building. And, you know, we even have some Dutch elm trees in the back that actually have survived all these years. So we lost a few species, but there are some interesting trees out back here. And actually, if you take a walk back, right in back of the building, there are some interesting, you see some cedar hedgerows laid out in a kind of squares back there. That used to be the old Leidick nursery. There were two nurseries in Cass Lake here. The Cass Lake nursery was on the south side of town, and in the back of the building here, there was the Leidick nursery. And we supplied seedling trees for just millions and millions of trees for the other national forests in the northeastern United States during the 1930s and 40s. And a lot of people don't realize that we really made a tremendous contribution to reforesting all of the national forests just through the trees that we raised here and shipped out to other forests.
We're speaking with Andrea Levasseur. She's the archaeologist and historian on the Chippewa National Forest. And a lot of people, you know, think of the old days. The old days in the 20s, and our forests were pretty well cut over, weren't they? And the CCC guys replanted millions of trees right here in northern Minnesota. You know, the CCC guys, I think, also worked on the building and grounds that are now what we call Norway Beach, didn't they?
That's right. Norway Beach was kind of a little sister to this building here. This building was completed in 1936, and by 1938 they had built the building at Norway Beach. Norway Beach, if you're not familiar with the area, is on Cass Lake, a little south of Star Island there. They have a really nice sandy beach there, and right now we have it developed into a nice camping area with three campgrounds and a resort there. But at the time, it wasn't very well developed. But people just gravitated there naturally and did a lot of camping. And they decided that they needed to build a building there for people to, change clothes and kind of provide facilities for swimming. Excuse me, got a little cough here.
And there's, I know there's still summer, you still do the summer programs there too, don't you?
Right, yeah. So the building at Norway Beach was, like I said, kind of a scaled down version of this with the central fireplace and the couple of wings.
Well, you know.
And it's now been turned into a visitor center. It's not a bathhouse anymore.
So. Yeah. Norway Beach is just a beautiful place, and again, those big Norway pines are kind of the dominant feature. They just give the place a very special feeling.
That's right, and you know they're pretty old trees there too, so it has a real nice feel to it.
Andrea, we don't have time today, but to talk about it in depth, but give us you mentioned earlier about other historical sites and places, not necessarily buildings on the Chippewa. Give us just a real brief overview of that, and maybe we can visit with you in programs in the future about some of those sites.
Sure. Well, I guess if you're starting back in time, one of the real special places we have is the Kutput Sioux Ranger Station. Over in the Kutput Sioux area there, right now, it's a little log cabin, little one-room log cabin, we think was built about 1908. Originally, the forest had about a dozen ranger stations, although it wasn't really divided up into ranger districts like we have today. There was just these little buildings, little log cabins out in the forest there where the rangers used to stay overnight, getting between place to place. And this one has survived since 1908, and we've restored that, and there's a display in there and all that kind of thing, and that's a really, really special place. There are some fire towers. We've got a couple of them out on the forest that you can go see. The Shingebis Ski area down near Walker, that's one of the earliest ski areas in probably for sure in northern Minnesota, perhaps in the state, and that one's also still in use and maintained for its original purpose, although people use it more as a sliding hill since it doesn't have tow ropes anymore.
I think I've crashed out on skis in that hill before around there, and sliding sounds much safer for a skier of my ability. Yeah. Well, Andrea, thanks a lot for joining us this morning, telling us about the supervisor's headquarters in Norway Beach on the Chippewa National Forest.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Andrea Levasseur, she's the archaeologist and historian on the Chippewa National Forest, telling us about a little slice of our local history here in northern Minnesota.